I'm available to start at right tackle.
You can't see when I have clothes on.
Right. Well, there's not an even playing field. There's never been an even playing field. There never will be an even playing field.
But... What shampoo do you use on your hair?
You don't need to be Superman to play in this offense.
You're listening to The Red Zone.
Welcome, Badgers fans, to another episode of The Red Zone. We are going to talk with Badgers center Tyler Biotich later in the podcast, but first, we're going to do a little something different this week. We're going to bring on my good friend, Brendan Kingsford, who is a huge BYU fan, graduate of BYU. He knows everything about the Cougars. So we're going to talk to him a little bit about, you know, this BYU team. How you doing, Brendan?
Doing good. Looking forward to this weekend.
First, I got to ask you if you've gotten over not getting Jamal Williams in our fantasy draft yet.
No, I'll never be over it.
Yeah,
Should have taken him first round.
I feel like when he got picked, you tried to play it cool like you hadn't been planning on taking him the entire time, but I know you were devastated.
I was crying.
Well, I got a sense that, you know, you're pretty excited for this BYU season. You sent a message to our entire fantasy league, you know, when you beat Arizona last week. You basically said, you know, BYU's first place in the Pac-12, and you called Khalil Tate a Heisman favorite that you guys shut down. You just couldn't really help it. But then you guys lost to Cal on Saturday. Do you want to, you know, take back any of that excitement or not?
Oh, no, never. I'm still excited. I mean, after last year, it was just so miserable watching BYU football. Felt like we lost every game 100 to nothing. And just scoring any touchdowns or any points at all is a reason to be excited this year. So still excited. Cal loss was tough, but I think there's a lot of improvement around the team, and people are looking forward to what's coming next.
Yeah, how big was that Arizona win, considering how bad last season was? Because I'm sure, you know, Arizona's not, you know, some world beater, but I guess getting a win like that to start the season must have been pretty encouraging, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, especially in BYU's position, we're on the outside looking in from, you know, Power 5 conferences, and we're always looking for challenges, and I think anytime we can go on the road and beat a Power 5 team, at their place, it's always good for us, and there's always reason to be excited there, especially in the Pac-12. You know, I think most BYU fans, if we were honest with ourselves, that's where we'd want to be. We'd want to be in the Pac-12, so anytime we get a chance to play them, and not only play them, but beat them pretty resoundingly, is a good thing. So,
yeah,
big win.
I think Wisconsin fans might think that they've got another cupcake coming to Camp Randall this week after what happened in Provo last year, but I mean, how much better is this team? Because obviously, you know, I mean, they have to be better than last year. They can't really be worse, right?
Well, yeah. I hope this year we'll hold Hornibrook to under 1,000 yards, maybe 90% completion instead of 100. I think that'd be a big win for us. But yeah, I think we're looking better. I think there's a lot of optimism. Last couple of years we've had, I think, a little bit of a talent hit. We've had some of our recruits haven't turned out. Some of our return missionaries have had some injury issues and some behavioral issues. And so we've had kind of some bad luck over the last couple of years, but I think the talent's looking up, especially with the younger guys. And I think the team will come back and have a better game this weekend.
I guess off the field issues for both sides in this one then in the offseason.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know, I think that's one thing that I admire about Wisconsin. I think it's pretty similar to my experience with BYU football, is that Wisconsin, the football program, holds itself to a higher standard. BYU does as well, and I think you always have, you know, inevitably some issues with that. But
yeah, that's one of the reasons I really like covering Wisconsin, is don't normally have to deal with this kind of stuff that's going on with Quintez Cephas and Danny Davis in the offseason. So that's
right.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, BYU is pretty much the same way there. But I mean, what was that Wisconsin game like for you last year? Now, obviously, you didn't really know how bad the team was. So was
right.
That sort of like a – did it seem like a one-off performance, or was that like a game where you kind of came to a realization that something was seriously wrong last year?
Yeah, I think going into the game, that's when we really started to notice that the injuries were taking a toll. So we were missing our quarterback. We were missing linebackers. We were missing a couple guys along the line. We were just really hobbling going into that game, and pretty much everything went wrong, and it never really went right again the rest of the season. So I think that really was a wake-up call. I don't really think the team really ever recovered after that. And then, you know, we've had all the off-season changes that were reflected because of all the bad losses that we had. So I really think that was the beginning of the end, for real.
Yeah, Wisconsin didn't see like you mentioned, didn't see your actual quarterback last year. What can we kind of expect from him?
I don't know. I think we were all really excited as BYU fans. His freshman year, he came out firing. He had the great Hail Mary against Nebraska to open the season. Then he had another Hail Mary against Boise State to beat them the following week. He had a lot of promise. He threw for over 3,000 yards as a freshman quarterback, one of the most successful freshman quarterbacks in BYU history. So I think we were really expecting a lot from him going on. But, he hasn't really realized that potential yet. I haven't really seen much progress from him over the last couple of years. It's a little disappointing, but, you know, maybe he can put some things together. And, you know, hope springs eternal. So hopefully he'll be able to put some things together and bring a better performance this weekend.
Yeah, because I remember a couple years ago you being pretty excited for him, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he was a big recruit for us, 4-star recruit. He, you know, this gives you perspective how long he's been around. He tied Jameis Winston for the top performer in the Elite 11 quarterback camp when they were seniors in high school. And so he came out. He went on a mission. He was gone for a couple years. We were expecting him. We were really looking forward to big things from him. And you know, things just, he's had some really bad injury luck. He's had some coaching changes, some instability there. He had, you know, Taysom Hill was our previous quarterback. He had an injury, and then he came back for his redshirt, I guess, senior season at that point. So things have been kind of tough for Tanner.
I remember you jokingly sending me a Hornibrook for Heisman text after last year's game. And, you know, he was awesome in that game, but I also kind of feel like he had all day to throw too. I mean, it was probably the best game of his career, honestly. But BYU wasn't getting near him. Are we going to see a better pass rush on Saturday, or at least a better overall defense?
Oh, I hope so. That was the most miserable experience I've ever had. Just watching him, it was like we probably would have been better with just passing dummy or tackling dummies out there. That was the best performance I've ever seen from a quarterback in person. That was incredible. I have to assume he's the best quarterback on the planet after what I've seen from him. Hopefully he's not as good this weekend, but I think, you know, we've got some more experience on the line. I think the defense is changed up scheme a little bit. There's the Kalani Sitake, our head coach, he's given more of his attention to the defense. So I think we'll probably put up a better fight this weekend. Hopefully. I can't get much worse.
Yeah, I mean, what's the confidence level right now for BYU fans heading into this game? Because obviously, after last year's game, you'd have to hope for at least a little bit better performance. But are you confident that you can put up a good fight here?
Sure. I mean, you know, Wisconsin's a great team. Amazing. I think Wisconsin fans are probably a little bit disappointed after the first couple of weeks. They probably want to beat people 77-0. But you know, I think they've looked great, and I think that Wisconsin realistically win the game pretty easily. But hopefully, you know, I hope to come in, score some points, hold the quarterback down for under 100% completion percentage, under 1,000 yards would be great. I just want to see progress, really. I think that's what we're expecting. Put up a good fight for a couple quarters, and see what we can do.
So you're keeping your expectations very low.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the goals this season is just improvement. Get bowl eligible, put up a fight with all the big boys that we're playing, beat Utah at the end of the season, and then go into next season with some improvement.
Yeah, it is a little interesting. The line, I think, is 21.5 the last I saw. And this Wisconsin team is, like, they have kind of started slow these last two games, but I feel like they've still turned it. Two slow starts and a 31-point win. So I kind of am interested to see them against a team like BYU that, you know, maybe isn't the quality they'll see at some of their later games in the season. But I feel like BYU surely will be a tougher test than New Mexico or Western Kentucky, I would think. So I'm kind of curious to see what happens here.
Yeah, I think especially on the front lines, right? And BYU, like I said, because of the talent problems we've had over the last couple of years, I think the depth isn't quite there. So I expect the first couple quarters, put up a good fight, see what we can do. Then once we start to eat into that depth there, I think Wisconsin will really start to roll. But we'll see.
You know, you mentioned BYU going independent was always really interesting to me. Just because, I mean, I guess from your perspective as a fan, you said you guys measure yourself against the Pac-12 a lot, but do you think that you'll ever get into a major conference? I mean, we've talked a little bit about this before, about, you know, why why you're not probably going to get in the Pac-12, but do you think that's ever going to happen for BYU?
You know, it's tough. Objectively speaking, if you just look at the numbers, if you look at the tradition that BYU's put up, if you look at the program support, the overall athletic success, it's, you know, I think it's really hard to deny that BYU is not a major, a player in the major football, or especially a major college athletics as a whole. And so I think at this point it's pretty disheartening that we're not in a Power Five conference. I think a lot of things off the field, politically, culturally, have kept us out. You know, I think the best fit, obviously, is BYU in the Pac-12. I think that's where most BYU fans would want us to be. But just from a cultural perspective, I just don't think that the mission of BYU is, aligns clearly with the Pac-12. So, you know, that's the best fit. And then the next best fit would be the Big 12. And the Big 12 happens to be run by, you know, a bunch of morons. And we've had a lot of issues, you know, pretty publicly over the last couple of years with their whole expansion fiasco. But I think where we're at right now is we're waiting for the next media deals to come up, and our AD is keeping his ear to the ground. He's looking for opportunities. I know that we have a lot of great relationships with some great schools. We've have a lot of great football series coming up over the next couple of years with some power programs. So hopefully we can be able to build those relationships, show well on the field, and hopefully, you know, if something opens up middle of next decade to 2024, 2023, maybe the opportunity will be there.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind them joining the Big Ten, honestly. I mean, I enjoyed my trip to Provo last year. It was a great place.
Yeah, I mean, if the Big Ten wants to get presence in the West, I think BYU is a great ad for TV presence, as well as, you know, I think that the mission kind of aligns with a lot of the schools in the Big 12, in the Big Ten, with their academic prowess and their focus on things off the field as well. So I think it could be a good fit.
Do you like being independent, though? I mean, you guys get sort of that scheduling flexibility where you can kind of play all these different teams every year, but you never really have, you know, a rivalry or a conference championship you're shooting for every year. Is it, I mean, how different is it? I mean, which one do you prefer, I guess, is it versus the Mountain West being versus being independent?
Yeah. I mean, I think independence is much, much better than the Mountain West. BYU was in the WAC for many, many years. It's where they were during our glory years in the 70s, 80s, early 90s. We won a national championship when we were in the WAC. We basically won the conference every year. We had some good rivalries, some great schools out here in the Mountain West. But I think that BYU really reached its ceiling when it was in the WAC as well as in the Mountain West. And, you know, with Utah and TCU leaving to join the power conferences, I think BYU really just needed to make a move and make its own way. And independence has been really good. I think that there's lots of positives. We get to watch lots of great football games. We get to watch lots of great, you know, build these relationships with great schools and with great fan bases. It was really cool to meet a bunch of Wisconsin fans at LaVille Edwards Stadium last year. We get, you know, six to eight Power Five conferences or Power Five schools scheduled each year going forward. So we're building really great schedules. The success hasn't really been there. But, you know, there's hope and some positive things are happening going forward. I think the independence has been a lot better than the Mountain West or really any other option out there in the group of five. Obviously, it's not nearly as desirable as the Power Five conference would be, but, you know, yeah. We make do with what we got.
Do you have a score prediction for Saturday?
Ooh, that's a good one. I hope to hold Wisconsin under 35 points. I'm going 28-10, Wisconsin.
All right, so you're picking the BYU cover then.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Wisconsin's offense can kind of get it going from the start this time. I think if you hold them to 28 points, that's this offense has enough talent where that's going to be a good showing for your defense, I think. But
Let's hope they're looking past us.
yeah, hopefully. And I think you know that's something to think about too in this game. I mean, they've got a tough trip to Iowa next week,
uh-huh.
And was just announced that game's going to be in prime time, and people are kind of worried about that game a little bit, or some Wisconsin fans are a little worried about that game. And I think a lot of people are looking past BYU, and it's, you know, this is obviously a better team than they saw last season. So it's, you know, that's, if you're a BYU fan, that's something, a legitimate hope you could have is that they're just kind of looking past this game.
Yeah, and, you know, I think Wisconsin fans want BYU to be a lot better, too. I think that was a big knock on the schedule last year. It's too bad for Wisconsin, because when they signed the schedule or when they signed the series, BYU was, had a lot more success at the time, and they looked like the they would be a good out-of-conference opponent. But, you know, it, I think it ended up hurting them with how bad BYU was last year. So hopefully BYU can put up a better fight and be better this season to help Wisconsin out as well.
And before I let you go, I have to ask you, have you seen the name of the new minor league baseball team in our hometown of Madison, Alabama?
Did you vote for this?
I didn't. I didn't know it was there was a vote there until it was until the reveal. But did you vote for
it?
Yeah.
No, no. My parents told me about it the day after as well. I can't believe it.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, this kind of went viral, but they're called the Rocket City Trash Pandas. And what was funny is that it seemed like most people didn't even know what a trash panda was. So and by the way, it's a raccoon.
Yeah,
a raccoon for people who don't know. And
I had no idea.
And so people thought like there was all this backlash, like, you know, why are you putting trash in your name? And then some of the Madison people were really upset that it was Rocket City Trash Pandas instead of Madison Trash Pandas. And so that was a big ordeal. Me and my wife had really a lot of fun looking at some of the Twitter and Facebook responses.
But it won with like overwhelming support. Over 70% or something voted for that name.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I don't know how you don't vote for that. It's a great name.
Yeah, well, proud to be part of the Angels organization.
Over under $100 worth of apparel, of Rocket City Trash Panda apparel that you're going to buy.
Oh, I'm going to buy it for everyone I know. All my all my family, all my friends. Expect a present this Christmas.
All right, well, thanks for joining me, Brennan.
All right, thank you.
How do you feel the season's gone so far for you? You know, first two games, you know, you guys had some slow offensive starts, but it seems like you guys picked it up in both games.
I think the first game, I think we may have I don't think we came out slow. I think we just need a better job of, like, reacting to maybe, like, the flow of their defense. But I think the first game, I didn't feel like a lot of people are saying we come off slow. I didn't think we came off slow. I think we just had, like, a little mishaps in the red zone. Because, honestly, like, we went for, like, 60-plus yards our first drive and kicked the field goal. And then the second drive, we went for 80-plus yards and we fumbled. So I think I wouldn't call that slow. I'll call that, you know, making a mental mistake in the red zone. But I think, you know, I think the season's gone well. I think we've put in the, I think the first game we had a lot of passing yards, but I think, you know, that's there. Obviously, you can see, like, how the game went last week. We're running the ball, like, a lot because that was our advantage, and that's what we're going to do because I think we have a really good dual threat with, like, JT in the backfield and all our backs, honestly, and then and all of our wide receivers, and we have a really good quarterback, I think. So I think, you know, I think the season's gone pretty well so far. I think we can improve. We're prepping to improve every week. So I think that was like the big message throughout our whole team. I think we have the opportunity to improve every week. So I think making that little margin can create a huge bit of difference.
Coming into the season, those outside the program looked at your line and, you know, saw the All-Americans and you. But they weren't really sure what you were going to get out of your left tackle position. And I feel like Cole has played, you know, extremely well these first couple games. Yeah. What have you kind of seen from him? And has his play even surprised you a little bit?
No, I think, honestly, when they say practice how you play, I think he's done that. I think he's practiced to a point where, like, we feel really confident with him. I don't think we had any doubts with him, with him or John. But I think both of them, they've done exceptionally well. And when Cole had to fill in for John last week, I think he did a really good job. Like you said, I think he's done what he's done in practice. So I think, you know, we're not surprised. But obviously it's his first start. So I think a lot of people are surprised because they haven't seen him yet. But we see him every day.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, for me it's not a surprise. I think he's done a hell of a job so far. And I think, you know, he'd be really good for us.
You guys moved, you know, Dieter out to left tackle last year. What's changed for Cole from last year to this year where maybe he's more ready than he was last year when you guys decided to move Dieter out there?
Well, last year we had the same kind of situation where Deason wasn't feeling the best, but he was ready last year, I think, too. But it was like the depth that got him back because Erdman went in for the guard position last year and Dieter just stayed at left tackle. But I think he was ready last year too. But obviously this year, I don't know. I mean, I thought he was ready last year, to be honest with you. I think more the knowledge standpoint where Like you can, every like your reaction time is better. So when we're up front calling all the plays, like it's like it happens now. Like it happens like as instinct. Where like you know my first year to this year, it's you know you just feel more comfortable. I would say I think he's ready last year, but I think he's more comfortable this year. Yeah, he's doing really good.
Yeah, from some of the other people I've talked to about Cole, they've kind of said like he's always had it physically, and he's kind of gone up a level in the mental aspect of the game. Is that kind of what you see, basically?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think he was ready last year. Yeah, physical attributes, but I think like mentally comfortability of like the talking, the knowledge, and speaking the knowledge and seeing it. I think that's where he's grown a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. With the other three guys on the line beside you having to make you know decisions on the NFL last year. I know it's really early for you, but have you kind of started to think about that at all? Like, eventually I might have a decision like that to make? Or because I know a lot of, you know, when you look ahead of the, a lot of the scouts, you know, do like what you can do, like your athleticism at the position. So have you thought about that at all?
I just think nothing would happen until after the season. So I think realistically, like, why would I make that decision now? So that's sure. How I'm taking it. And, like, that wouldn't be a decision for now.
How excited were you when, you know, David, Michael, and Bo all decided to return to know that, you know, you're going to have all those guys back surrounding you and you guys can really do something special as a line this year?
I was excited. I was definitely excited for them to come back. But, I mean, either way, what would happen, like, that's their, like, life. You know, like, I never said, like, please come back. Like, I never, like truly, like, like begged them to come back, but I encouraged them to like say like we can do something really special. And I think that's what we all want. Like I think that's why they came back. You know, maybe some like of their grading or whatever. I don't know why they came back, but I think deep down, I think that we truly had something special like to come back for. And you know, like that's a big decision for them. So I think when they said they're coming back, I was really excited, and it probably looked like I was like I really wanted them to come back. Like I deep down I did, but. You know, I'm not going to tell them what they can't do with their life because that's their life. So I think it like, really drives us because we have a lot of depth this year, too, with Micah and Urban and Russ and John and Cole like at the left tackle position. So I think we have an exceptional group, and, you know, having them back is huge for experience-wise. And how good they are. I mean, they're all Americans, so it's great to have back.
Yeah, in the offseason, you know, a lot of people were touting you guys as possibly one of the best lines in school history, and you had the Sports Illustrated cover. How do you feel like you guys kind of handled that kind of attention that you're probably not really that used to?
Well, like, I've had that question asked me before, and like, I'll stick with the answer. I think, you know, that's in the summer of 18. Like, it's over. Like,
yeah.
Like, summer workouts, summer publicity, like, yeah, it was fun. Like, I enjoyed it. It was really funny. It was awesome to see, like, the O-line on the front cover. You don't see that very often. But it's over. And truly, it honestly it motivated all of us to work even harder. So I think it made a point where, like, you know, we're gonna prove it. Like, we're going to prove to the world, like, who we are. And I think that was huge for us individually.
All right, thanks, Tyler.
That's going to do it for this week. A big thanks to Brendan and Tyler for coming on the podcast. If you haven't yet, subscribe to The Red Zone on iTunes or Google Play. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jason_Galloway. And hey, if you have a Badgers question, just tweet it to me. And we do a mailbag podcast, if you don't know, every Friday during the season. So if you tweet me a question before Friday, we can get that answer on the next Red Zone podcast. And of course, keep visiting madison.com for all of your Badgers football coverage. Thanks for listening.